Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. Our show is broadcast every weekday on Multifamily Now 24/7 internet radio. Go to multifamilynow.com. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of five multifamily metrics that aren't tracked but should be. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily industry consultant, the fabulous Stacy Hampton, founder and principal consultant with Asset NOI Consulting. Welcome, Stacy.
Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. This isn't your first rodeo with the show, so we're excited to have you back. You always bring the receipts. And this is a topic we were talking before we started recording a little bit about the fact that there's a lot of changes going on in multifamily, and I think tracking metrics help to know where you sit within the landscape of what's going on in multifamily. And I know first you wanted to talk about tracking collections, delinquency, and occupancy. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, in my work, I come across a lot of times that the metrics or the KPIs that we typically track are sometimes conflicting with reality. So what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of times what we can see on a dashboard or what we see on our Monday morning report looks very positive. But when it comes to what actually goes in the bank, it's a different story. And you know, a lot of times that can be really perplexing for owners, regionals, and property managers. And so in my business, I'm looking at, you know, these KPIs, but I also drill down into the metrics that are contributing to them. So what I mean by that is, you know, looking at delinquency, for instance, you know, you can have a 10% delinquency. And of course, you can see that as, wow, that's, you know, it's higher than what I want it to be. And then maybe a week later, it drops down to 4, and it seems like a real win. But what often isn't showed in that delinquency percentage, which is on every single report, no matter the management company, is that, you know, if you had 2 residents with high balances that moved out, then the delinquency drops to 4%. And it's not that you got the delinquency down by collecting more revenue. It's actually that you wrote off that balance. And so delinquency didn't drop as a result of the collection efforts. It dropped because the person who and or people that weren't paying moved out. So it's it can be a false positive. You know, another thing is, you know, physical occupancy. It's definitely, I'd say, the number one KPI, right, in multifamily. I mean, it's the one that everyone looks at. Everyone wants to know what's the occupancy. And it's on every dashboard and every PMS on every report. But sometimes it's deceiving, right? So for instance, you know, you have a physical occupancy of 92% and you have, you know, 6 late move-ins at the end of the month. Let's say they move in the last week or week and a half, and now your physical occupancy is 95%. And, you know, you turn right around a week later into the month, you've got 6 move-outs. You really didn't collect much from those move-ins that happen. Your physical occupancy says, yeah, everything's great, we're at 95%, but that money is not fully realized. And when those move-outs come a week and a half, 2 weeks later, you're back down to 92. So the reason why I think tracking collections should be a metric that everyone uses is because it tells the real story. It's what you collected, how much money went into the bank month over month. So I like to look at it as, what did we collect last month? Is it higher this month or lower? And I think if you can show that you have stabilized collections, or, you know, your collections are up month over month, then that shows that the property is performing better.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. I'm curious, do you find that it's more challenging, the metrics are more challenging for either different class of properties or different types of properties, for instance, student versus affordable versus market rate?
Well, what I would say is workforce housing is particularly challenging right now. We've had higher instances of skips and evictions over the course of really since 2020, when it's been going up, as where most properties, workforce housing, would have an average of 2 skips, maybe only 1 a month. Now look more like 4 or 5. And so when you've got a physical occupancy of 95, but you've got, and I think anybody who's in workforce housing can relate to this, but you've got 10 residents who haven't paid their rent this month, you've got a challenge to cash flow. It's really, really difficult for them.
What are you seeing some of the folks out there doing to when these skips happen? And I mean, the pandemic obviously was the beginning of a lot of the issues that we're still dealing with, or hopefully getting close to not dealing with anymore. What are people doing now versus then?
I think screening has changed significantly, right? So the standard screening was for applicants was, you know, we'd check their credit and their criminal. And if it passed, approved or approved with conditions, we'd move on. But a lot more has gone into verifying the accuracy of the information that we require from the applicants, whether it's identity verification. So that's one thing, right? It's a preventative measure. I think on the other end, there are products that are available now that weren't even 2 or 3 years ago that will offset some of those risks, meaning that, you know, if a resident, it's a guarantor of sorts. If a resident doesn't pay the rent, then, you know, there's a service now. Back in the day, we used to have guarantors, and that still exists, although I don't think it's near as common as maybe it once was. But, you know, if you were trying to get an apartment could ask you for a guarantor. Maybe you'd ask, you know, mom and dad or big sister to help you get the apartment, and they would be responsible for the balance.
I think it seems like they're still using guarantors a lot in student housing these days. But you mentioned it, and it really is a preventative thing where I think it all starts, and that's with this, all the fraud that's going on out there. With AI and all the tools that are available via the internet, people can create pay stubs and that look like they're real and so forth. So all the new products and technologies out there that I've seen when I go to conferences that help to prevent that, that's really where it all starts, doesn't it?
It does. I think we're in a place now where you know, residents that because of also, and this is something I didn't mention, but the court systems are being inundated. When we went from having one or two evictions at workforce housing a month, now up to 5 to 6, that's put a lot of pressure on the courts, and it slowed down the process. You know, previously, when we would file eviction, usually we'd have court within a couple of weeks. Now it seems as if best case scenario, court dates are 30 days out. In some markets, I've seen it as long as 3 months.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers Water and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's plummer.com.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of 5 multifamily metrics that aren't tracked but should be. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone, joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily industry consultant, the amazing Stacy Hampton, founder and principal consultant with Asset NOI Consulting. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Stacy, in the first segment, we talked a lot about the delinquency and occupancy. We touched a little bit on the tracking, the screening, and the results from screening. Talk a little bit more about that. There's more to it than what we touched on.
Yeah. So when I'm working on a client property, I often find that there's not a real sense of what kind of financial challenges the demographic that lives at the property may have. And so what do I mean by that? You know, every applicant that moves in, we screen them through credit and criminal and rental and some of the fraud products that we talked about. But on an ongoing basis, most of the property managers don't have any idea how many applicants that they have or how many residents they have that whether they were approved or approved with conditions or declined. And I think that's a really important metric to track meaning every applicant that comes in, you should know, you know, if they were approved with conditions or declined, because I think that is such a huge driver for, you know, maybe some of the symptoms that they're experiencing at the property, like high bad debt or concessions or turn costs or vacancy loss. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you've got 100 applicants, let's say over a 12-month period, and 10% are approved and 50% are approved with conditions and 40% are declined, you're taking on 50% of, that means 50% of your community would be considered high risk. And knowing that can help you drive things like, what kind of deposit should I ask for? What kind of, like I was mentioning in the prior segment, should I have a guarantor requirement or engage a guarantor service for the property? And additionally, and probably the one area that it surprisingly it can be a big indicator of is, where should I spend my marketing dollars? So what do I mean by that? If you've got a property that has a high number of skips and evictions, if you're looking at those skips and evictions and what their advertising sources were and what their screening results are, sometimes that can tell us where we need to spend our marketing dollars. Different even marketing sources can drive different types of traffic. But overall, it's extremely important for these properties to be financially stable, to manage their risk levels. And by risk, I mean risk of lease default, skips, evictions, and even delinquency that can disrupt cash flow.
You know, I find that the fact that you spend your marketing dollars differently kind of intriguing. Can you give some examples of what you would, what you've seen or would recommend?
Absolutely. So I did a 12-month study on a property in Tampa, looking at their delinquency, their write-offs, and, you know, their skips and evictions over the course of 12 months. And then I did a screening audit on all of the skips and evictions for that 12-month period. And then I went another layer in and said, is there any commonalities between what was the traffic source for these skips and evictions and where did they come from, right? And what I found was, is that in this particular case, the commonality out of, and there were 62 skips and evictions over the course of 12 months. Yeah. With an average balance of like $4,200. So when they moved out, they owed $4,200 on average for a balance. And then I was able to discover that 30% of those skips and evictions came from a single advertising source. And so when I went back after completing the analysis and reported the results, I went through and I compared of those skips and evictions compared to the overall number of move-ins from that lead source, and discovered that this particular lead source was a social media channel and the property was being targeted basically by fraud. It was the people that we were advertising to, we were attracting people who basically planned on submitting what we call synthetic identities. Totally unintended consequence. It looked like we were getting a lot of leads, but what we found was those leads were really risky. Now, there were other elements to that. We ended up tightening up the screening criteria overall, but it was interesting to know that what we viewed as, or what was previously viewed as, a terrific advertising source inadvertently ended up targeting the property for fraudsters.
And nobody had any idea that that was happening, obviously.
No, there. I mean, unless you're really tracking risk overall, a lot of people aren't aware of where that risk is coming from and what the risk is. You know, in some ways, you know, your demographic for your property is a demographic. The only thing you can do is mitigate it with these guarantor services, higher deposits, and tighter screening criteria. But you definitely don't want to be spending your marketing dollars, and they were spending a reasonably significant amount of marketing dollars to make things harder on yourself.
It's kind of counterintuitive, I would think.
Yeah.
We got about 3 minutes left of the segment. You mentioned earlier what some people have told me is the dirtiest word in multifamily, which is concessions. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in that regard and how it affects your metrics.
Oh, so painful, Paul. So painful. Well, I'll relate it back to the property in Tampa because, you know, the Sunbelt markets particularly are concession heavy right now in the areas that have been really developed. You know, this property in Tampa had 62 skips and evictions over the course of 12 months. Each one of those skips and evictions had an average occupancy of, meaning they lived in the apartment before they skipped or were evicted, on average 242 days. Mm. So less than a year. All of them had received a concession. Mm. What could be worse? You give a month free and somebody moves out less than a year later, having owing you a 3 month balance. So for all intents and purposes, you ended up giving away 4 months free to get, you know, 6 months worth of rent. So, concessions are necessary at this time to stay competitive in many markets. However, I would argue that if you're giving away a month, 2 months free or more, your screening criteria and your risk mitigation should be extraordinarily strong. It should be anyways, but it's something to be very cognizant of, because if you're giving away money, you should take every step necessary to make sure that you get a return.
Yeah. Yeah. And are they still doing concessions at that property? They feel like they have to. Yeah.
Yeah. They, I will tell you, one of the initiatives that we rolled out there was, instead of giving all the concessions to new move-ins, we began giving concessions to renewals that had good payment history. So if you had no late payments over the course of 12 months, you would get this concession. If you had three or more late payments, you might get a smaller concession, because we decided, hey, they paid late three times in this year, but they did pay. Yeah. All of these scenarios involved them having a zero balance at renewal.
Right.
So we changed it up. They were given 6 weeks free, and we got a little more competitive on the rents and started providing concessions to our residents that we knew we could count on.
All right. We are going to break it here. We will be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Hi, this is Remy Marks, the Chief Connection Officer of Multifamily Now 24/7 Internet Radio, the first and only radio station created exclusively for the multifamily industry. It's where professionals come together for nonstop insights, stories, and conversations that move our industry forward. And now, you can take that pride beyond the airwaves with the Multifamily Now store. From t-shirts and gear with the inside jokes only multifamily property pros understand, to the apparel that celebrates the people who keep communities thriving, this is where property management meets personality. Visit multifamilynow.com to tune in and to shop the store. Multifamily Now, the voice and the style of our industry.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of five multifamily metrics that aren't tracked but should be. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily industry consultant, the fantastic Stacy Hampton, founder and principal consultant with Asset NOI Consulting. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. eConserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Plumber, boost your bottom line with custom utility allowance models. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud prevention and underwriting solution for multifamily, trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Stacy, let's talk a little bit about the turnover rate.
Yeah. So, again, this is another metric that most multifamily property management companies track is retention rate, primarily month over month, right? So, you know, here in October, we had 10 expiring leases, we had five renew, so we had a 50% retention rate. For me, I think probably the more useful metric would be year-to-date turnover. So here's why. When you're tracking month-over-month retention rate, what you're not seeing is, and I hate to keep going back to it, Paul, but it's such a plague on the industry, is it doesn't track skips and evictions. It doesn't track actual turnover. So, you know, someone can renew in October and it'll show you that you had, let's say you had 10 leases and seven renewed. We've got a 70% retention rate. Well, that's something to celebrate. But if two of those renewals skip out 6 months from now, that's not reflected anywhere if you're not tracking year-to-date turnover rate. And turnover rate is what drives things like make ready cost, concessions, vacancy loss, and even write offs in the instance of skips and evictions. So if the only metric you're tracking to see whether or not your residents are staying and how that's impacting your financials is monthly or even yearly retention rate, you're looking at the number of expiring leases versus the number that renew. And what's left out of that is the residents who skipped out or who were evicted. And their impact, I would argue with anybody, is much greater to the financials than renewals at most of the properties, the workforce properties. I mean, obviously you want to collect rent, but if you want to know what's driving your turn cost and your concessions and write-offs at a workforce property, you want to look at your year-to-date turnover
rate. Yeah, and I think you mentioned in your notes that when you track the monthly retention versus the year-to-date, you get a false positive. Can you kind of give some examples of where you've seen that? And was it eye-opening for your clients?
Every time. Every single time. because what they see is on the monthly or weekly reports that, you know, hey, we've got a 65% retention rate. And it, even if they're reporting, if evictions or skips are being reported, it still doesn't register to them that they've got a turnover rate of 65, the highest I've seen in the last 12 months. And this absolutely blew my mind. 180 units, we'll say, 180 unit property that had an average occupancy of, I want to say it was 92%. Right. So not bad. Definitely not bad for the market it was in. But they had turned over in a 12-month period 87 units.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. The turn cost alone were for the prior year, the turn cost alone was like $317,000. And you know, by turn cost, I mean, I'm including turnover costs, but also concessions as well. So when you're looking at it from that standpoint, there should have been an intervention. And so here's what I think was missed. And this isn't on the management company, by the way. I mean, it's really difficult to quantify the impact of this when you've got, you know, all these different GL codes that, you know, part of the turn expense is here, part of it's under here, some of it, you know, if they had to get flooring or whatever, it's under capital replacements. And here's the other thing to the properties, you know, benefit, they were leasing them up. Mm. I mean, they were leasing them up. So it looked like the occupancy was fairly stabilized because of their ability to lease the apartment.
And what was the solution in that particular case, or what would be the solution?
The solution for them was they had a significant issue with fraud. They were slower to act on evictions. You know, they were continuously fighting for occupancy, and I don't blame them one bit for this. But they were continuously fighting for occupancy. And so they were a little more lenient on the collections. And so we did a complete rework of the collection process. And residents weren't allowed to get as far behind. It's a funny thing, collections. The more lenient you are, you feel like you want to be understanding and helpful, and you should be to some degree. But sometimes it's almost, it can turn into an enabler situation. Like, Paul, if I allow you to pay me late 3 or 4 months in a row, you start counting on me to let you pay late. And maybe at some point it gets out of your own hands, right? You've started to think of, you know, paying me as something you can push off. And before you know it, you know, you just get so far behind, you can't catch up.
So, and we've got about 2 minutes left in the segment. What do you think, could we talked earlier about the fact that everything's cyclical in multifamily, and we're in a part in an area right now where there are a lot of issues at properties and a lot of distress and so forth. So what would be a policy that you would recommend for collections?
That's a great one. Consistency. Well, two things. Can I have two things?
Sure.
Okay. One, if you've had a challenge with collections over a period of time, and by challenge, I'll define it as delinquency on average at closeout above 5%. It used to be we were always shooting for zero delinquency, right? And then it kind of got moved up a little bit to like one and a half on the, you know, that didn't trickle down to the team, but the general consensus. Now, if you can get under five, it's like with the court systems and the challenges, that may not trickle down to the site teams, but a lot of regionals I know would love to have 5% at the closeout. Is one, consider rewriting your notices, not the notice to vacate, that's an official document, but your residents are used to seeing the same old thing over and over. And if you've been lenient in the past, I'll say that dog doesn't have any teeth.
Right.
So consider that. And then the other thing is be both consistent and inconsistent. What I mean by that, follow your processes, but also surprise them from time to time. What do I mean? It's, you know, show up earlier in the morning to knock on doors. Show up on Saturday. It used to be assistant managers. I don't think this happens as much anymore, but you used to have to work every Saturday on the first of the month, first Saturday of the month. That was kind of a consistent thing you'd see. I don't think that occurs as much anymore, but I would say just as effective. You were asked to show up on Saturday so that way you could catch those people that maybe didn't pay their rent on the first. But I would say just as effective is to maybe stay a little late, not past dark, safety, have someone with you, but occasionally surprise your residents. Don't just knock on doors from 8 to 5.
That is great advice. That is great advice. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of five multifamily metrics that aren't tracked but should be. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by in the studio is a longtime Multifamily Industry veteran, a multifamily industry consultant, the awesome Stacy Hampton, founder and principal consultant with Asset NOI Consulting. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So this next metric that we want to talk about is track-ready vacant, not leased. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, traditionally, another thing you'd find on any Monday morning report at any management company in the country would be ready, vacant apartments, right? You want to know what percentage of all the apartments you have vacant are ready. That's on every Monday morning report. And what I would give as an alternative metric to track is how many vacant, ready, not leased units do you have, right? Or some people don't like the word units. Apartments do you have? And why does that matter? Well, because you can have 10 vacant apartments and have five ready. But if those five ready apartments are leased to somebody, then that means that you have five vacant apartments that you can't, that someone can't move into. So I'm a prospect. I come to your property. I want to see an apartment. Would I prefer to see the apartment that I can move into? Yes. Will I rent an apartment that I can't see? Maybe if you can show me one that's close, but you're more likely to close me and get me to lease an apartment if I can see the actual apartment I'm going to be moving into. But never mind the fact of, if I come in to see you at your community, Paul, and I'm ready to move by Friday, if you don't have a ready apartment that's not leased, I can't move into it. So I think it's a really important metric to track. More often than not, what I find is I'll look at an availability and they'll be like, leasing's been slow. We need to get more traffic in here. We need to close more people. I want you to make sure someone's answering the phones over there. And I pull up the availability and we've got one vacant ready apartment to rent somebody. And guess what? That unit's been vacant for 120 days. So people have looked at that. Probably many people have looked at that apartment and for whatever reason don't like it. And then we've got 10 or 15 vacant apartments that aren't available for people to see. And so that's usually what I find. And the issue with that is that you can't move. This will never change in multifamily. You can't move somebody into an apartment that's not ready.
Yeah, it will never change. Well, look, we've got a few minutes left before I want to transition. And I know we said we were going to eliminate one of the topics that we were going to discuss, but we have been saying five metrics. So let's talk about number five real quick for a few minutes, which is track more than 1 month owed versus eviction file. What does that mean?
Yeah, no, great. So most unfortunately now it's become such a prevalent issue. Management companies track evictions filed, right? It's now become part of the regular weekly meeting reports and even Monday reports. What that metric doesn't tell you that tracking number of residents who owe more than 1 month's rent is you may have and likely do have other residents who owe a balance and need to be filed, you need to file eviction on those residents. What I've found statistically, once a resident goes beyond owing that 1 month's rent, their likelihood of skipping or evicting is much greater. Particularly because usually if they owe more than 1 month's rent, that means that they haven't made any payments to you in over 30 days. So let that sink in. I owed you money for 30 days and I've given you nothing. And now I owe you another month, Paul. What are the chances that I'm going to come through with some money? It's certainly possible. Yeah. But, you know, as you know, the eviction process, you file eviction. Best case scenario, you get a court date in 30 days. If the person pays before then, you can cancel it. But the biggest issue I find by not tracking this metric is that a property will find itself where they should have filed eviction on 7 to 10 residents, and they only had eviction filed on 2, and another month has passed now. So every month that you wait after the 1 month of rent is owed is another month you're going to be giving away a free month's rent. That's going to increase your write-offs and ultimately reduce your revenue.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we could talk about this topic. It's all great. And obviously, I want to have you back to talk about more. But let's discuss... I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with you and your history and your background, but I'm sure we have some listeners that aren't. Tell us a little bit about your journey into multifamily, and then also what you're working on now and any news that you have or what you would be looking for in a way in the types of clients that you're trying to help and how someone could reach out to you.
Yeah. So, I started my journey actually in hospitality. And I ended up, you know, working through the full scope of the industry. The only thing I haven't done until just recently has been on the vendor side. I've always been on the operations or asset management side. So I started out as a leasing agent, and moved up to assistant manager and property manager and regional and VP and, ultimately president. And so I should say this before any of these type of appearances. I was raised by the brilliant and indestructible multifamily industry. Everything I know, I can take no credit for. So I've had an incredible amount of mentors. And, you know, ultimately, a couple of years ago, I decided to go to the other side and service the industry from this side. So I started my own multifamily operational and asset management consulting firm. I work with owners and property management companies nationally. And my goal is to stabilize. It's nothing short of stabilizing multifamily in any way I can. So I give a lot of knowledge away for free. I write a lot. I get asked about that. How do you make any money if you're always giving this information away? It's because I can't. I can't work for everybody. The one way that I can contribute to my industry is to pass along the wisdom that was passed to me. So I write a lot about it on LinkedIn, and I volunteer as a mentor, and I try to give to my friends on both sides of the business as much as I can, and I can't help it. I just love you people, so I try to work with you.
That's great. And so tell us a little bit about the types of clients you're working with, the types of clients you would like to work with geographically as well as their types of properties. Where do you find you can make the biggest difference?
Well, I would love some clients in the Bahamas. So if anybody's listening, I would need to be on site, obviously. Yes. No, I, I work with clients nationally. So most of the time I'm working on the behalf of owners, and, you know, whether they manage themselves or through third party, I am always working with property management, because without them, we have nothing but sticks, bricks, and dirt. Mm-hmm. And so I work with them, and my projects vary. You know, if you've got a property that's stubbornly giving you a hard time, or what I like to say is stabs you in the back every time you turn around, you think things are going well, and all of a sudden it wants attention again, you know, I'll do a full 12-month analysis of how and understand how that property operates and try to help you figure out how to make it behave on a regular basis. If you've got a property that that you need to turn around, then, you know, the same applies. If it's at the lowest occupancy I've ever had on a turnaround project was 42%.
Oh, wow.
And we got it to 90. And when I tell you, Paul, it will not go over 90, no matter what you do. I feel like I could go rent all the other vacant apartments and myself, and somehow magically we'd be at 90. I think we hit 91 or 92 a couple of times. So in a nutshell, I'll do a lot of things, but that'd probably be the two most common scenarios.
Okay. And finally, if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, as you know, I'm super active on LinkedIn. I try to write about the work I do 5 days a week, so you can definitely reach me there. And you can also reach out to me on my website, which is assetnoi.com. And there you can learn more about the different types of work I do and who I work for. And I'm a jack of all trades, but I also have a team that has specialty items. So I'm thankful for them, and we'd be grateful to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Stacy. You have an open invitation to come back anytime, because as I said at the beginning, you bring the receipts, and you know, your years of expertise, our audience learns a lot from. So thank you so much. But we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.